Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Hey, good morning. On this Labor Day weekend, congratulations on a holiday, you're here. God gives you 10,000 points for that. We want to welcome you to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, where we are seeking to know God, to love God, and to serve God. I am Pastor Lynn, your associate pastor, and our worship leaders today are Tom Doan and Bruce Stark. And you have come on a wonderful day because we're going to be sharing Holy Communion together. You know, in the United Methodist Church, communion's very important to us. We believe in an open table. That means whether you come here all the time or this is your first time here, you're welcome at our communion table. And I want to let you know that at second service today, there's going to be a baptism. So if you want to hang around after coffee hour and just pop in for that, we're going to be baptizing a little baby, Noah Gallagher, because we all need to pray for him as he grows up in the faith. And now I have a few announcements. And while I'm doing the announcements, if there's any kids here, they can head over to Sunday school. But the announcements today are all about next Sunday. Next Sunday is an important day. It is Bounce Back Sunday. And that means there are going to be a whole bunch of events happening, and there's going to be a bounce house. But there's going to be a blessing of the backpacks of all the kids and any teachers who are here at both services, 9:30 and 11. We're going to be giving Bibles to the kids in kindergarten and third grade. Then in the afternoon, there is a cornhole tournament and a chili cook-off. All of these happening as events to raise money for Readers to Leaders. It's going to feel like it's a big tailgate party, so you should plan to come. There's going to be prizes, snacks, and of course the bounce house. And you can, if you like to make chili or soup, you can bring that and you might win a prize. I might even make some chili. I can make some gluten-free chili. Okay. And what else do I have to tell you? Oh, and then that evening, you can register for that online. New member class starting. If you're considering joining this church, or if you simply want to understand who we are and have a chance to meet some other people, this is the place to do it. It's going to be led by Pastor Lindsay, and I think Pastor John, you're joining her this time, right? So both of our lead pastors will be leading this class. So you can sign up for that on that connection card in your bulletin or online. And everybody, please fill out a connection card and any prayer request cards that you have, because we want to pray for you, we want to know you were here, and we want to help you in your faith journey. So now let's stand for our opening hymn, number 100.
Thank you. Good morning. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord of the mountains and seas, God of our ancestors, we turn to you again in prayer. Lift up our hearts as we struggle through this life. Give us strength and guide us. Help us to feel your presence in all that we do, beside us every step of the way, so that we can rise up in service to you. Amen. Please be seated. This morning's scripture is from Exodus 3, 1 to 15. Don't go to sleep during this. It's a fairly long one, so hang in there. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites. A lot of ites. The cry of the Israelites was now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks so much, Tom, for reading our scripture this morning, and I hope you're all still with me. It's good to be with you this morning. I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us all to answer God's very own call in our life. Amen. So here Moses is in this story. Most of you probably know the Exodus narrative, but here Moses is in this story, minding his own business, enjoying his peaceful life after having a turbulent upbringing and experience. You can sort of recount Moses' story up to this point. This is only Exodus chapter 3, but a lot of stories happened in Exodus 1 and 2. You know that Moses was born to a Hebrew family. He was actually sort of discarded into a river, floats down the river, and he's discovered by one of the attendants, right, in Pharaoh's palace, and he's rescued from the river and brought out of this life of bondage that would have been his fate into royalty. And Moses is raised by this Egyptian woman, but doesn't necessarily know his whole heritage. He's sort of a man without place. He's a man without purpose. He's a man without identity because he's sort of living between these two different communities of people. And Moses is brought into this Egyptian royal place, and he's sort of raised with a silver spoon in his mouth, and one day, because of his curiosity, he ventures outside of the palace and into this world where people with his same heritage and background are enslaved by the Egyptians that he's now living with, and he sees their plight, he hears their plight, he experiences empathy and sympathy for them as he witnesses the injustices that are taking place with his kindred people. And all of a sudden, he takes it upon himself to confront, to push back against the institution of slavery in his day, and he decides to kill an Egyptian overseer in that moment. And because of that, Pharaoh says, you can no longer live and breathe and experience all the privilege of living inside my house with my people, and I'm going to exile you into a foreign land. And so Moses goes, and you know the story, he goes and meets his wife and ends up watching a field of sheep. That's what Moses is doing at this particular moment in Exodus chapter 3. He's out there watching his flock, which may be familiar to you. It sort of harkens back to the Christmas Eve story, right, when the shepherds are out watching their sheep in the middle of the night, and suddenly they're sort of disturbed by the sight of an angel that's announcing the presence of God. Well, in this particular place, it says that Moses is actually in the wilderness, and the original Hebrew language says that he wasn't only in the wilderness, he was in the space on the other side of the wilderness, like in a forgotten wasteland is one way to translate the Hebrew in this particular passage. And in that moment, when Moses is watching his sheep, which, by the way, if you could just put yourself in Moses' shoes, He goes from floating down a river to a palace, to exile, to watching sheep in the middle of this wasteland, a desert with a mountain nearby, and he's sitting there, and all of a sudden he looks over and there's a burning bush. But the bush isn't being consumed, which Moses thinks is odd, because most of us folks from Michigan, when we go camping and we set up a campfire, we keep adding wood, because when wood burns, it's gone. But in this particular case, something unique is happening. Moses looks over, sees the burning bush, it's not being consumed, and he realizes that surely God is in this place. So he takes off his shoes, a sort of ordinary act, a simplistic act, but he says, something is happening here. Clearly God is in this place. Something unique and special is happening in this moment. I'm taking off my shoes because I'm standing on holy ground. And Moses is kind of insecure because he's been through all of these massively turbulent moments in his life. He's not positive of what he should do, but he instead realizes in this moment that God is speaking to him, Moses, Moses, and Moses responds in the most faithful way he can. He's like, here I am, Lord. What is it that you need of me? And I don't know if you've ever had a moment where you felt like God was personal enough, close enough, that God was speaking to you and you were able to hear maybe God's voice, or maybe you felt something deep within the fiber of your being. You felt like God was speaking to you, saying that you were supposed to do something. And in this particular case, Moses says, your people, the Israelites, who have been in slavery for hundreds of years, I've heard their cries, and you, Moses, are the person that I'm going to send back to talk to Pharaoh, and you're going to deliver all of my people out of bondage and slavery into a brand new life. And my favorite thing is Moses is like, yes, thank you for calling me, God. I'd be happy to be your servant. No, actually, if you read Exodus chapter 4, Moses goes, I have a speech impediment, God. I don't know exactly how you're going to use my voice, because when I speak, I stutter, and nobody will understand what I'm saying. Moses also says, are you sure it's me? Are you sure you want me to do this? I'm very happy here. I'm pleased watching my father-in-law's sheep. You know, I used to be in this place of privilege, but actually, I killed somebody. Like, is it possible that you would be calling me, somebody who is, kicked out of my homeland in Egypt, and here I am in the middle of the desert, in the wasteland? Why are you asking me to do this? Couldn't you call somebody else? Maybe if you've ever had a moment in your life when you felt God was asking you to do something, it's really hard to turn away from that voice. Some of you have heard this story, but a long, long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, I was serving as an intern in the city of Detroit. And at that particular time, those of you who have been down to Cass Community Social Services know that they have a massive paper shredding machine in the city of Detroit at Cass Community Social Services. And if you want, you can talk with Greg about going down to Cass to help on any Saturday, the first Saturday of each month. But when I was down there, it was just a tiny little office paper shredder inside essentially a warehouse building with homes all around it that were filled with folks who were struggling. And in the midst of this place, it was the middle of the night, essentially. The Tigers were playing a game on the West Coast, and my mentor, one of my heroes, Reverend Faith Fowler, said, John, do you see this stack of papers? And this stack of papers was like a wall of papers. She said, by the end of the summer, it would be great if these papers were all shredded and in these bags so we can recycle them. And I said, Faith, like, how much are you going to get for these pieces of paper? And she was like, well, a couple of bucks. I was like, volunteer labor is great, right? And so I sat inside this document destruction room. That was the name of this place at that particular time. And literally, like, my summer, you know, after going to school at Albion for nearly a year at that point, my entire summer was spent taking these pieces of paper into the shredder and just over and over again, over and over and over again. And my only balm was that I could hear the voice of Dan Dickerson and Jim Price, God rest his soul, talking about Tigers baseball all night long. And while I was doing that, over and over again, I was thinking about this paper that I was feeding into this tiny office shredder and thinking about the fact that God was going to take that paper and make like $3 or $4 probably by the end of it to be able to invest in homeless folks in the city of Detroit, and perhaps more importantly, that God was going to recycle that paper and it was going to become other stuff that maybe would be important for other people. And in the midst of that, there were also a whole bunch of folks who were getting a job to do this work during the day, who were part of the special needs community in the city of Detroit to shred this paper over and over again. And I just started feeling all of a sudden that the presence of God was in this place. Now, it wasn't the Crystal Cathedral. It wasn't the Vatican. It wasn't Jerusalem, the holy city that God, you know, appointed. It was a room with no windows in the city of Detroit where I heard, over and over and over again for nearly a whole summer. And I remember hearing God's voice in the midst of that, not in like a booming, clear, like, John, this is exactly what you're supposed to do, but just this deep and abiding sense that instead of going to law school, I was supposed to go to seminary. And that's where I made my decision to go to Garrett and to study to become a pastor in the document destruction room in Cass. There are some people who would describe that place as a bit of a wilderness. There are some folks who would look at this place in the city of Detroit where many of the buildings all around it are abandoned and nobody lives in them, but folks used to live in them. There are folks who might say it's a food desert because there's no supermarkets in that area and people have to drive sometimes 10, 15, 20 minutes. Sometimes they have to take city transportation to be able to get to where they're going just to buy groceries. But that was my place where I felt like God was speaking to me, telling me that I was supposed to do something. Which sort of begs the question, as we move into this Labor Day weekend, I hope that maybe there's a moment for you tomorrow. It might be in the busyness of hosting people over for a backyard barbecue. Maybe you'll spend time with family. Maybe you'll have some just a moment of peace and solitude. But my question for you, as we go into this time where God usually sets aside a moment for our life where maybe we are able to pause with the sort of hamster wheel of life. And most of us who are sending our kids back to school are like, John, what are you talking about? Tomorrow I'm going to Staples and Meijer and you know, Target. We're buying all the school lunches. There's no chance to pause whatsoever because school starts on Tuesday and I haven't bought all the things for kids to go back to school. But if you have a moment, I encourage you to take just a breath and ask yourself the following question. God, what is it you want me to be doing in the world today? And the interesting thing is, in Moses' case, he came up with every excuse as to why he wasn't the right person to go back into Egypt. I can't speak. I'm not powerful enough. How will people know that it's actually you that sent me, God? What happens when I get in front of Pharaoh? He banished me from this place. Like, I have to go back there. He told me never to come back, and yet you're asking me to do this. What should I call you when people ask who it is that sent me? And God's answer is as cryptic as God's answer could possibly be. He says, I am who I am. Moses is like, thanks. I hope at some point in your life you've had some kind of burning bush moment where you felt God's presence in a way that was so deep that you knew that this was a special and sacred time, and maybe you didn't take off your shoes, but you sort of marked that moment as like, this is a holy and sacred time. This is an important and special moment in my life because I can feel God's presence. But I think this story is also a moment that changed the trajectory of Moses' life forever. So imagine with me for a moment what would have happened if Moses would have allowed all the excuses and the reasons not to answer God's call to prevail. What if he would have just been like, oh, that was weird. I'm just going to go back to being a shepherd. Maybe God's people, the Israelites, would have been slaves in Egypt for another couple hundred years. Maybe the injustice of slavery would have just been allowed to continue in the world at that particular time, and people would have continued to feel the whip of Pharaoh's whip. Maybe people would have been able to continue to be oppressed for generations to come. And I think in our world today, as I look out over the landscape of our world, there are many things like the enslavement of our spiritual ancestors that I think God is calling people to confront right here and right now. And maybe it's the lack of access to clean and safe drinking water worldwide that's the injustice that just keeps us up at night. Maybe it's the fact that in Michigan we have to pass laws that allow every child to have free or reduced cost lunches because many families in our community, right here in Livingston County, the wealthiest county in all of Michigan, there are still children who don't have the resources to make sure that they have a full stomach when they show up for class on the very first day. Maybe the thing that bothers you most is the fact that we continue to have violence in our communities. Maybe you're worried about the safety and well-being of folks all around the state or around the world or around the nation. Maybe you're concerned about the fact that there continues to be the institution of slavery when we look at the reality of sex workers or prostitution in our midst. Maybe you're concerned about racial injustice, or perhaps you're concerned about the fact that just on Monday this last week, as kids were getting ready to go back to school at a school just up the street, before any student or teacher arrived, sometime between 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the morning, swastikas were painted in the parking lot and all kinds of expressions of hate right here in our own backyard. So on the first day of school, when people are walking in the doors, instead of seeing all the signs that we're accustomed to seeing when you walk in, "Welcome back, students, we're so glad you're here," there were spray-painted signs of graffiti all through the parking lot expressing that some children weren't welcome at this particular school that started on Monday. I don't know about you, but I want to live in a world like the one that God paints. A land where people are delivered out of slavery and into emancipation and freedom. I want to live in a world where everybody is heard by God, where everybody is welcomed by God, and I want to live in a world where people, when we see the burning bush, we take off our shoes and we say, "Here I am, God." And then we make some excuses. And then God says, "But you're the one I want." And at the end of it, we say, "All right." We grab our staff and we walk back into the place that maybe we're afraid to walk to, and we do the work that God is calling us to do. I'm here to tell you that after I had that moment in the document destruction room down at Cass Community Social Service, I was afraid to go into ministry. And I too came up with every excuse possible. Mine sounded a little bit like this. "God, I already have a lot of student debt." And I'm here to tell you that seminary is not cheap. "God, are you sure that you could use somebody like me? I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't grow up attending weekly like many of you. I had that experience." And at that particular time, I was also like, "God, I have never read the Bible cover to cover. Are you sure you want to use somebody like me?" And to be honest with you, there are still moments in my life where I'm sort of wrestling with that. But at the end of the day, I hope that at the end of those wrestlings, when we ask all of our questions, what we say is simply this: "Here I am, God. If you think that you can use me, an imperfect, broken, confused, doubting person, then do it." And so as we go out into this school year, as we go out into this fall, as we go out into this season of life where things are kicking off and accelerating, I hope that you'll take a moment to acknowledge the fact that God is here in the form of a burning bush, in the form of a whispering voice, in the form of an insight that we have deep within the fiber of our being, some form of calling. I hope that you'll have ears that are open to hear whatever it is that God's asking you to do in the world. And that at the end of that story, you'd say, "Here I am, God. Use me for whatever purpose you have in my life. Because I know this with all of my heart. I think there's a connection between the world that Moses was in Exodus, and the realities and the challenges that our world is facing today. There are still people enslaved in Egypt. And I think God is calling us to set all of God's children free. Thanks be to God. Amen."
My heart felt unafraid. I picked my heavy burden up, and with him by my side, I climbed the hills of Calvary.
And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Who'd have thought when Lynn came to work here at the church, we get the bonus of Gary, too. That's just absolutely two for one. That's wonderful. Hey,
As we enter a time of prayer, I want to call your attention to the prayer quilts. We have three of them this morning. One is for Mia, one's for Eric, and one's for Neil. On your way out of the sanctuary, please stop, tie a knot. As you're tying the knot, say a prayer. They need our prayers. Then stop at the card and sign the card and let them know that we're praying for them. God is good.
All the time.
You guys are good. I like that. I said, you guys are good. John says, all the time. Let's enter a time of prayer now. God of life, you have promised to be with us every day, especially in difficult days and times like these. Give us clarity in our minds, strength in our work and discernment, rest as we sleep, peace in our minds. Be with those who need help more than we do ourselves, and help us to see what we can offer from your love. We pray for our prayer quilt recipients, Mia, Eric, and Neil, and hope that they may feel the love and prayers in these quilts as they surround themselves with the warmth and love that are in them. Bring wisdom to doctors, give understanding to scientists, endow caregivers with compassion and generosity, bring healing to those that are ill, protect those who are most at risk. Give comfort to those who have lost a loved one. Welcome those who have died into your eternal home. Loving God, help us focus on what we have, not on what is removed or changed. Strengthen us when we feel discouraged or overwhelmed. Embrace us so that we know your loving presence within us and among us. Walk with us as we bring your love and carry your light into the world. It seems that I return to you most easily when I need comfort, O God. Hello, here I am again, knowing that you are waiting for me with love and warming light. In the shadow of your love, I find relief that renews my soul. Day and night, you are my refuge. Good and gracious God, my family and friends need tranquility and assurance. Help me to offer them your tenderness. Those in my community who are suffering need care. Help me to be generous and to keep contact with the forgotten. We need to remember your love is always there for us and that you will never leave us, even in our darkest hour. May my prayers and support be for us all. Lord, bless all those who labor, whether they are compensated by paycheck or pride. Let them know their true worth in your eyes. May all workers be gifted with a sense of service to the common good and graced with the satisfaction of a job well done. Thank you for those whose work provides protection, comfort, healing, and relief from suffering and stress, especially during these times we're living in. May all of our labors be for your goodness and glory. Eternal Lord, we now turn to you with our prayers, asking for your help as well as giving you our praises for your never-ending love as we come to you in this time of silent prayer and meditation. Eternal God, we hear again your gracious invitation today. Come to me, all who thirst. We come seeking to have our thirsting souls quenched with your presence as we join our hearts and voices together, praying the prayer Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Don't forget, God loves you, and there's not a thing you can do about it. Amen.
We come to a time in a service where we have an opportunity to receive the beautiful gift from God, one of the two sacraments that we celebrate in the United Methodist Church, a time of Holy Communion. And as we are planning this worship service, we wanted to do something a little bit different today for all of those of you who are with us in worship. We're actually going to sing the responses that are a part of the Great Thanksgiving. And so if you'd like, the words to the sung responses are on page 17 in your hymnal. We're going to be doing musical setting A, and you can follow along with the Liturgy of Communion, which begins on page 13. So we'll begin with these words of grace, and we'll sing it together as we celebrate this holy mystery that God has offered God's self up for us as we receive these elements. I pray that you would sing with your whole heart the goodness of God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image, and you breathed into us the breath of life. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy.
Are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take this, eat this. This is my body, which has been broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took a cup, he gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
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 At this point, we'd like to invite those who will be assisting and serving communion to come forward. And as Pastor Lynn said at the very beginning of this service, In the United Methodist Church, we practice an open communion table, which means you don't have to be a member of this or any other church to come forward and receive these elements. These are God's gift to all of us, and so you are welcome to come forward and receive these elements of grace. We'll have gluten-free elements, and our ushers will dismiss us. I'll invite you to come forward by the radial aisles, and then we'll invite you to return by the center aisles to the pew that you are sitting in. All has been made ready. Will you please come and feast at this heavenly banquet? Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this great gift, this holy meal, this opportunity to be reminded of your great love for us. We're grateful for the way in which this table draws us together as we receive from one cup and share in one loaf. We give thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, for his ministry, for his teachings, for his baptism, for his death and resurrection. We rejoice in the way in which you gave us all new meaning, hope, and life. We thank you for this table. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
On a day like today, when summer is growing closer to the end, we in Michigan begin to feel the excitement of fall. We begin to wonder what new opportunities God will place before us in the months ahead. God is at work in all of our world and in this holy place that we call First UMC. You can be a part of it simply by jumping in and sharing whatever gifts you have with others, your time, your talents, your gifts, your service, your witness. So as the ushers come forward, you can share in the wonderful work that's happening here. May God bless us as we do so. May the ushers come forward.
Lord of all creation, you have given us everything. Everything we have, our financial resources, our gifts, and our talents. You have called us to serve and be gracious givers. Bless our offerings and use these gifts to grow your ministry on earth. Amen.
Thank you.
I want to tell you about a burning bush I didn't see coming. Just over a week ago, Lindsay and I went to go to the movie theater. Of course, we did this like on the night the tornado came through north of us. So we were sitting in the theater and like everybody's emergency phone thing goes off. And I was seeing a movie that I probably wouldn't have seen if Lindsay didn't say, we're going to see this movie. And I was like, but what about Oppenheimer? And she was like, no, we're going to see this movie. Okay, so we go to see this movie. The movie was Barbie. I didn't expect to have a burning bush moment while watching Barbie, but in the middle of it, there's a monologue that I encourage you to listen to. It's about the challenges of being a woman in the world today, the challenges of fitting into a box that oftentimes we create for women in our midst. And Lindsay will tell you, I cry at basically every movie that I go to. It doesn't matter what. It's the music, you know? I mean, my eyes, they just start sweating. I don't know. But after hearing that monologue, I thought to myself, there are still people in Egypt that God's crying out about the oppression, and God is hearing the cries of the oppressed even in our world today. I encourage you to take a moment. You can just go on YouTube and Google the Barbie monologue. It'll come up. It'll be the first thing that comes out. And even if you disagree with every other part of the movie, I encourage you to listen, because I believe God's listening to the cries of people who are marginalized and oppressed, and in our world, sometimes that includes women. The burning bush for me was in the movie theater, but it can happen for you while you're barbecuing tomorrow. It can happen for you out on a boat. It can happen for you while you're spending time with friends. It can happen for you all the places that God takes you this fall. So be on the lookout for the burning bush that calls you to go to a place that you'd never expect to go. Go out into the world looking for signs of God's activity. And when you see God, I pray that you would answer, here I am, Lord. Let us go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go serving and loving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.